I'm really excited today. We have a very special guest. Many of you knew this was coming, and this morning I just learned his name is Barnabas Ntokambali, and I just learned from one of our own Africans this morning that his name means one who comes from far away. Isn't that a great last name? Because he has. I mean, he's 8,500 miles from home, and just an incredible leader of the Assemblies of God in the continent of Africa, but I would challenge to say even around the world. Dr. Barnabas, they know the great things that have been going on in Tanzania because we've supported those. We've been instrumental in helping with the Bible College campus, incredible transformation, and the fact that the church is growing. They are planting 1,000 new churches every year in Tanzania, 1,000 new churches. Now, you know, and that's with a relatively small base. You know, the United States, we plant one new church a day. But that's a lot of people across this nation. They're planting almost three a day. That's incredible. And God has blessed them. And again, it's a combination, it's a partnership of man hearing from God, taking the lead, and using the power of God to make it happen. God doesn't do it all by himself. He wants us involved. We are co-laborers with Christ, the Bible says. And this is a wonderful partnership. And I'm honored to have this friend here this morning, and you're going to hear from him. And so, Dr. Ntokambali, would you come? Buona Safuiwe.
Amen. Oh.
We got to turn you on and get you going. Actually, he is turned on already. He's ready. This man fasted and prayed yesterday for today's service, so we're going to be blessed. Do we have some? Is he on?
Hello.
There we go.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for Swahili language speakers, nawasalimu katika jina la Bwana Yesu. I count it as great privilege and a wonderful honor to be in this great and a wonderful church. I'm so grateful to our beloved pastor for extending your invitation for me to come and share with you today. To tell you the truth, I have so much fallen in love with this church. I have so much enjoyed your pastor, vision, love, and sense of fellowship. I have so much enjoyed your hospitality, your worship, and the great and the wonderful atmosphere in this great and wonderful church. And if ever I were to migrate and live here, guess what? I'll make this to be my church. Before I share, I would like first to introduce a little bit about myself and also about my country. Pastor have just told you the meaning of my last name, a man who come from far. But my first name is Barnabas. And you know Barnabas is a biblical name, son of encouragement. One of the things which amazes me the most is that whenever I travel in the United States, I find very few people called by the name Barnabas. And I wonder why. But I want to encourage you, if you are expecting a baby boy or grand baby boy and you are still shopping for a name, you may consider Barnabas, son of encouragement. I am married to one beautiful wife, and her name is Glad Mary. Glad Mary. Indeed, she lives up to her name, for she keeps me glad and merry all the time. We have been married for 30 years, and the Lord has blessed us with 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy. They are all serving the Lord with us back in Tanzania. I serve as a local church pastor of a church called Bethel Revival Temple. It's Assemblies of God Church. And also as the General Superintendent of Tanzania Assemblies of God, with over 8,500 churches. And also I serve as the President of the Africa Assemblies of God Alliance, with over 100 southern churches and over 20 million members across the continent. Also is the member of EC, World Assemblies of God EC. So that's what I do. And concerning Tanzania, just to remind you, your geography is one of the 54 countries located in the continent of Africa. And we are located in the eastern part of the continent. We are bordering 80 countries. In the north, we are bordering Kenya and Uganda. And in the west, we are bordering Burundi, Rwanda, and the Republic of Congo. And in the south, we are bordering Zambia, Malawi, and Mozambique. On the eastern part, we are bordering Indian Ocean, and also on the far southeast, we are bordering 2 island countries known as Comoro Islands and Madagascar. Tanzania is very much known to be the land of Mount Kilimanjaro, the second highest mountain in the world, the land of Lake Victoria, the second largest lake in the world. We are sharing it with Kenya and Uganda. And also the land of Ngorongoro Crater, which is one of the 7 wonders of the world. The land of Serengeti, which is the most densely populated with game reserve in the world. And also the land of Spices Island of Zanzibar. If you are still shopping for safari, then you may consider Tanzania. Its land size is twice of California. And we have over 155 tribes. So we speak 155 languages. But thank God we are united in the sense that we have one national language, which is Swahili. And Swahili is a very easy language to learn. You want to try to speak some? Yes, I'll teach you how to greet in Swahili. This is how we greet each other. How are you? That. So you say in Swahili, hujambo. Again, hujambo. And then you say, fine. Si jambo. Si jambo. Okay, now I am going to greet you in Swahili. Here we go. Hujambo. Hujambo. You have just spoken perfect Swahili. And you can add that now in your resume. Why not? And population-wise, we are about 50 million people. 50 million people. And religiously speaking, of the 50 million people, 32 to 38% are Muslims. 35% are Roman Catholics. And 14 to 20% are animist. By animist, we mean that they practice voodooism, witchcraft, and ancestor spirit worships. And only 17 to 19% are evangelicals, Pentecostals included. And according to the research we have made, we have over 40,000 places without a Bible-believing church. And according to the United Nations Economic Index, we are rated to be one of the poorest nations on earth. So from those statistics, you can see for yourself that we, the body of Christ in Tanzania, we have an enormous challenge of outreach. For we have a challenge of reaching all those people groups with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to plant churches to over 40,000 places without a church, and also an immense challenge of addressing the adjunct poverty situation of our people. And we believe that we cannot address all these challenges by ourselves. We need all the partnership and all the networking we can get. That's why I am here today to thank you as a church and to thank your pastor for your sacrificial givings that you have been giving, and in the way that you have been partnering with us in reaching Tanzania for Jesus. Your pastor came to Tanzania about 3 years ago, and I want to thank you for supporting him and for allowing him to come. He came and he was such a blessing to us. And I'm here also to appeal to you that your continued partnership and your continued sacrificial giving is so much needed as we win Tanzania for Jesus. Amen. Tanzania mission doors are wide open. Come one and come all. And all the people said, Amen. Now let us get into the world. The title of our sharing is Let Us See the World. And the text is the book of Acts, chapter 17. We are going to read verses 16 to 18. In actual fact, if you want to get the background and the context of these verses, you can read verses 16 to 34. But in order to redeem time, for now, we will read verses 16 to 18 and continue to expound other verses as we go along with the message. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this great and a wonderful day that we have given unto me to share your word. I pray that, O God, empower me in a special way and open our hearts so that your word will be imprinted in us and cause us to bear much fruits for your glory and for the expansion of your kingdom. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Verse 16 to 18 of Acts 17, the Bible read, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? And others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and his resurrection. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our text says, while Paul was waiting for them, who are they? Silas and Timothy in Athens. He was greatly distressed to see that the city of Athens was full of idols. The King James Version states that his spirit was stirred within him as he saw the city of Athens wholly given to idolatry. The background or the context of these verses is that Paul had most recently been in Thessalonica and Berea proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Because of the persecution, the pressure on him, and the dire need to literally save his life, Paul fled Berea and came to Athens, where he was waiting for his colleagues and partners in ministry to join him. While there, the Bible tells us, he began to walk through the city. Paul walked through the many idols that had been raised all around the city. Athens has been described by one historian as a forest of idols and shrines. Every imaginable god that anybody in the world worshipped at that time was worshipped in Athens. As the center of art, literature, and philosophy for that part of the world, Athens attracted everybody interested in any kind of religion. The Athenians were very religious, devout people. The Bible tells us the Athenians even built a shrine for a known god just to make sure they had everything covered. They wanted to be sure every god was appeased. And the Bible continued to tell us, as Paul walked through that city, he was very provoked. The words used in verse 16, greatly distressed, means to be provoked to a point of anger. Paul was very upset, not with individuals, but at what he saw all around him. And the more he saw, the more distressed he became, until it welled up within him to the point that he could contain it no longer. And the Bible tells us he began to speak. He began to preach. He spoke in the marketplace day by day with Jews and the Greeks. He spoke in their synagogues. He spoke to the philosophical group known as Epicureans, who believed that the chief aim and the goal of life is happiness and pleasure. He also spoke to another philosophical group known as Stoics, who believed that everything in nature was God and could be worshipped. He spoke to the wise men on Mars Hill. He spoke to the government leaders. And every time he spoke with them, he talked about the one they have never heard of before, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. He urged them to turn from shrines and idolatry worship. He spoke to them about Jesus' death, about Jesus' burial, and about Jesus' resurrection. He called them to open their heart and receive Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that some people became followers of Paul and believed Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. There are great historical facts in these verses, and what a story it is. But the important question for us right now is that, what does it have to do with us today? What does this story have to do with me and you today? I believe the principles contained in these verses are very applicable in our current situation. First, these verses tells us that there is sin in the world. Just as it was in Athens city, there is sin in the world. If you read newspapers, watch television, listen to the radio, open the internet, you will see and read number of articles that present the variety and the immensity of sin present in the world today. I'm asking you, take the blinder off and see the world for what it is. Really, see the grossness of the sin and the terribleness of the sin. The materialism, the secularism, the liberalism, the sensualism, the humanism, the communism, the paganism, the terrorism, and the many isms present out there. Let it, like Paul, affect you to the point where your heart is broken and your spirit is stirred because you see sin all around you. Let it affect you, not so you become judgmental and condemning as other people's have become, but rather so that you will be able to pray fervently, earnestly, diligently, and allow God to work through you to come up with God-sized vision, goals, and strategies to help those who are experiencing problems and help those who are doing something to reach the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please realize there is a sin in the world, and there are souls who need Christ in the world. In Athens, Paul saw souls, the Epicurean philosophers, the Stoics philosophers, the leaders on Mars Hill, the Jews in their synagogues, the Greeks and other people in the marketplaces. Who were they? People who needed Christ. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he also saw souls. When he saw Zacchaeus, he saw a soul in need of salvation, and he did something about it. When he saw blind Bartimaeus, he saw a soul in need of a miracle, and he did something about it. When he saw the little woman who had the issue of blood, he saw a soul in need of healing, and he did something about it. When he saw Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, he saw souls in need of supernatural intervention, and he did something about it. Jesus didn't see people as others saw them. He saw them as people whom he came to heal, to deliver, to save, and he did something about it. Today, all over the world, we have people in our state, in our city, in our nation, in our neighborhood, in our workplace. We have people who are the lonely souls, the lost souls, the rejected souls, the disappointed souls, the angry souls, the hurting souls. They all need to be saved. That's why in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus commanded all of us, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It is my prayer that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we will be re-anointed with fresh anointing to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation than ever before. It is my prayer that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we will be revisited with fresh fire of revival and a great awakening, which will reignite our God passion for the great harvest of winning the lost world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, will renew our commitment and determination to win the world for Jesus Christ. For I believe with all my heart that Jesus and only Jesus is the true answer for the world today. Let us give him glory and honor in the house of the Lord. Second, realize there is a Savior in the world, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you say after me out loudly, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You can do better than that. Again, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We can do better than that again. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. You see, if we only talked about the sin in the world and the souls in the world, we could become awfully depressed. Because sin is everywhere. And every place you turn, you find sin and all the souls affected by it. But remember that even though there is sin in the world, and there are souls to be saved in the world, there is also a Savior in the world. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is who Paul told the Athenians about. This one, Jesus Christ, who rose again. He said, he is Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us he preached to them about his death, about his burial, about his resurrection. I mean, he preached to them. He preached to them. He hammered them hard with the gospel. And the Bible tells us, many of them opened their hearts and received Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, there is a Savior in the world. He is the compassionate Savior. He is a delivering Savior. He is an able Savior. He is an ever-present Savior. He is a faithful Savior. He is a giving Savior. He is a healing Savior. He is the interceding Savior. He is the almighty Savior. He is a weeping Savior. He is a just and righteous Savior. He is a kind Savior. He is a loving Savior. He is a miracle working Savior. He is a risen Savior. He is a transforming Savior. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of Creation, the soon coming King, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Let us give him glory and honor in the house of the Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us right now is that when we look into the world and our city and our state and our nation and our neighborhood, our workplace and our schools and everywhere, we should not only see the sin and allow it to grip our hearts. Not only see the people as souls who all need help, but also see the Savior who can make the changes that are necessary in any person's life. For I believe not a single individual in this world, including your prodigal son, your uncle who is an unbeliever, including your relatives who are unbeliever, I say, not a single individual in this world who is beyond the help of our Almighty God. For Jesus can rescue. Jesus can deliver. Jesus can save if we will only allow him to have his way. For I believe Jesus' power far surpasses any other power in the universe. For I believe Jesus' authority far surpasses any other authority in the universe. For I believe Jesus' greatness far surpasses any other greatness in the world. No one is greater than our Lord. No one is higher than our Lord. I say, no one is able than our Lord. That's why I believe with all my heart, without any reasonable doubt, that Jesus and only Jesus is the true answer for the world today. Let us give him praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. Third, realize there is a soul winner in the world. There is a soul winner in the world. Paul was a soul winner to Athens. Paul could be overwhelmed by all the idols he saw in Athens, all the shrines he saw in Athens. He could have been overwhelmed by all the sin he saw and thus become a pessimistic. This is beyond help. Nothing can be done anymore. Paul could be overwhelmed by people, all the people he saw dying without hope in Athens, and become judgmental and condemning. But instead, we see totally a different thing. Paul decided to become optimistic. Paul decided to make a difference and have a lasting impact by taking Jesus, who is the answer, to the Athenians. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, you and I are soul winners of the world. Are soul winners of this city, of this state, of this nation. We have been created and we have been called to make a difference in this world, to make an impact of this world. We are not part of the problem of this world. We are part of the solution of this world. Amen. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Jesus calls each one of us to be fishers of men. Let us allow God to use us. We could be overwhelmed by all the sin and by people dying without hope. Or we could say, like Paul, "I will make a difference. I will make an impact. I will take Jesus, who is the answer to them." In Tanzania, we, the Assemblies of God Church, has decided to make a difference, to make an impact by taking Christ to more than thousands of villages without a church. And we use church planting as a means of doing evangelism. Our goal is to raise 10,000 ministers, new ministers, who will plant 10,000 new churches. And these churches will reach out and assimilate 2 million new members in our fellowship in 10 years. And our clarion call, our battle cry, is Tanzania for Jesus. And with your help, we have already planted over 8,500 churches. To God be the glory. And we will see Tanzania reached for Jesus because of your partnership, because of your prayers, because of your support, and above all else, because of your love for Christ and your dedication for mission. We have a great responsibility before God to steward one of the greatest resources with which we, the Assemblies of God Church, we have been entrusted in Tanzania. And that resource is our church planters. Our strategy is simple. We plant a church planter in unreached areas, and he or she becomes a spark of a new church. Let me tell you the story of one of our church planters. Recently, we drove into the village in the eastern part of Tanzania, which is predominantly Islam, to meet with one of our church planters called Pastor Daniel. Daniel was a businessman cutting down trees for charcoal, and he couldn't get away from God's calling to minister in predominantly Islam area. He has been there slightly over a year and had several members in his church. One of them is a Muslim background believer, the son of the teacher in the mosque. The son was sick for a long period of time. His parents took him to the Sheikh, Muslim leaders, then to several different witch doctors. None of them was able to help him. Then they took him to the hospital, and still there was no help. Desperate, they continued to look for a solution. And finally, found a witch doctor who said he definitely would be able to cure the boy. And so they paid him his required payment of goods and various sundry items, and agreed to meet the next afternoon at 12. When they arrived at his hut, there was a group of people causing quite a commotion. It seems that right before the boy and his parents arrived, the witch doctor had suddenly dropped dead. At this point, they gave up hope. The boy was about to die. In desperation, they remembered. There is a pastor in this town called Daniel, and his church claim that they can pray for the sick and be healed. And so they turned to the church and asked Daniel to come and pray for the boy. And guess what? Daniel accepted the offer. And he agreed. And when they prayed for the boy, he was instantly healed from the edge of death to total health. And as a result of that miracle, the entire Muslim family and many other Muslims in that village surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, such church planters as Daniel are the greatest resource the Lord has entrusted us as the Tanzania Assemblies of God Church. During the last 4 years, in my responsibility as the general superintendent, I traveled to over 250 sections, and I witnessed more than 8,000 TAG members, both men and women, young and old, who came forward under the power of the Holy Spirit, declaring that, like Daniel, God has also called them to go out into the dark corners of our country and plant new churches. And that represents more than half of our goal during these 10 years of strategic plan of planting 10,000 new churches in order to see that Tanzania is reached for Jesus. I believe it is imperative that we harness and steward this precious resource of church planters entrusted to us. This is why we have established 55 church planting schools spread out across every district of Tanzania, ministers training centers for the purpose of educating, training, and mentoring these new church planters. We want to equip and empower them to strategically plant churches in every village of Tanzania. And we will do it as you partner with us to build the facilities that we need in order to double and even triple the number who enroll in our church planting schools. So far, in the past years, over 5,500 men and women have graduated from our church planting schools and have gone out to plant churches in the dark corners of our country. But they have done so with great difficulties and challenges because of our lack of church planting schools facilities. We use mud and a thatch building as a boarding school of 4 months. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we must strike now while the iron is still hot. We need to build these facilities as soon as possible so that we can help see the remaining TAG or our church fellowship members in place the call to plant churches while the call is still ringing loud and clear in their ears. It cost only $30,000 to build one school of 50 students. We are in need of 20 church planting schools facilities. Our goal is to have all these facilities constructed by December 2018. May God guide and lead you as you partner with us during this great church planting movement in Tanzania. As one evangelist once said, the opportunity of lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. We have an opportunity now to transform Tanzania through the power of the gospel. Let us seize it. Will you partner with us through your prayers and financial support to see that the 20 simple but adequate church planting facilities, ministers training facilities are built, and the result will be 10,000 newly commissioned church planters who will plant 10,000 new churches in order that Tanzania might be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as waters covers the sea. Amen. As I conclude, Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. Instead of being overwhelmed by all the sin and by people dying without hope, we could say like Paul and decide like Paul to make a difference in our city, in our state, in our nation, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our schools, and everywhere, to make an impact, to take Jesus to them. And let us partner together in transforming our city, our state, our nation, our world, and Tanzania with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus, and the only Jesus, is the true answer for the world today. Let us give him glory and honor. Amen.